My message this morning is called Being an Influence for Christ. Because it says in the Bible that we are ambassadors. It does. And it was funny because how I got on this morning, I have no idea why. I was kind of doing a word study of the word poor. You know, to be poor in spirit or poor, just a poor person. And in one of these, you know, the second letter of Paul's writings to the Corinthians popped up in the sixth chapter. And so it just kind of prompted me to read the whole thing, not just the one verse, but the whole thing. And it's kind of like two letters rolled into one, the last part of the fifth chapter rolled into the first part of the sixth chapter. And so I kind of wanted to share that with you, as well as one other part there that really spoke to me this morning. And it's an ambassadorship. In verse 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, and then it goes into chapter 6, verse 1. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." And I kind of want to pick some of these things apart a little bit this morning, if you'll bear with me. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ. So what is an ambassador? I mean, our country right now is a little bit up in arms for over the killing of an ambassador that we had a little over a year ago. Are we not? We're still trying to find the reasons and who truly perpetrated and caused this ambassador and three other individuals to be killed. And we're up in arms for that. And so, why? Because an ambassador is a special person, are they not? Somebody that we send from our country to go to another country to not only be able to talk with them, but to relate the ideas and the values and the morals that we have within our society in hopes that we can create some sort of unity or bond with that country. And the offices of as an ambassador for Christ is very much the same way. Because I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian and I really started following after the Lord, I started kind of feeling like a wanderer in a strange land. I started looking around and I said, thinking to myself, when did everything start to change? And I realized it hadn't changed. I was the one that was undergoing a change. It was my thoughts, my ideas, my values, my thinking. Why? Because it was no longer becoming my thinking, but more of Christ's thinking. Because it says that we are to put on the mind of Christ, to have the heart of Christ. Well, that means your whole thought process starts to go God's way and not our way. And it says, be ye reconciled to God. Some people think that God has to come to us. True? Well, if he knows where to find me, if he really wants me. No. Scripture says that we are to be reconciled to him. Why? He never left us. We're the ones that took off. We're the country, the people that are not doing the things that we should be doing. And we know it. For the most part, most of the people know it. They know, you know, there's not a person in the world that goes to the restaurant and goes to pay their bill and realizes that they didn't charge you for one of the meals. And if they don't say anything, they think, oh, I just got away with that. But they know. They know deep down in their heart that was the same thing as reaching their hand into the till and taking out whatever money that was due. True? However, if we are overcharged a dollar, we're right there to speak up. Hey, I didn't get this. Or if a fly lands in our soup, hey, write this off my bill. I ate all of it but one, the last little thing, but I want that for free. True? That's how we are. Or some are, I should say. Goes on to say, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's the only way we can stand before our Lord to become righteous is to be able to let God work through us as ambassadors. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Boy, this is a biggie. And I want you to pay special attention to this because I want you to really think about this. Fathers and mothers, think of it this way. You raise your children till the age of whatever it is that they finally leave the coop, 40, 45, whatever it is. But you work your entire life. You set aside money for a college education. to put them through. Why? So they can have a better life. True? So they can enjoy some of the fruits that this world has to offer and have it easier than what you might have had it. Or you might have built up a business with the hopes that one day when you retire, you can pass on your business to your son or your daughter and say, here, this is yours. I helped create this so that your life can be easier, so you don't have to go through the struggles, the turmoils, and all the things that took to do this. But when that child gets older, they say, I'm not going to college, and I don't want to work in your business. I don't want anything to do with it. How does the parent feel inside? The parent starts thinking to himself, why did I do this? Why, you ungrateful little so-and-so. I have worked and sweated and toiled years and years and years and years so that you wouldn't have to go through the same things that I did. So that when you go to college, you wouldn't have to work an additional 60 hours a bill and come out of there with a $100,000 educational bill. That you could go there, concentrate solely on your studies, not worry about anything financially, and come out of there scot-free, and you could go do your thing. But no. Especially when that same child says, I don't want to go to college, but I want the money. True? This is what we do to God. When people offer him Jesus Christ, or offers us Jesus Christ, and we say, ha-ha, don't want anything to do with that. It's like God is saying, I've got to put my son back up on that cross all over again to show the world how much he loves him. I have created this world for you. I want you to be my ambassadors, to go out and share my love that I have for you. And we say, I know I said, ain't doing it. Can't make me. Well, yes, you can. But thank goodness you're not making me. And that was the first part of this lesson that I got out. God just wants to show his love. You realize that? That's all he really wants to do. He just wants to show you how much he truly loves you each and every day. And he does that by allowing us to be ambassadors. You said, we learn more by doing than we do just by reading, right? I know if I had never been a pastor, I would not have been near as far along as my walk in the Lord. I know. If I'd have been sitting there, some Sundays I would be. Most Sundays I probably would not be. But then he goes on and he takes this ambassadorship kind of one step further. He goes all the way down to the 11th verse. I'm not going to go through the center part here. And it almost seems like it's out of place. It feels like it should go back in one of the first books that Paul wrote to the Corinthians about associating with people. But you see, because if we are ambassadors, sometimes, you know, if an ambassador is going somewhere and he's getting nowhere, what does he do? He cuts bait and goes, right? That's for you fishermen here, okay? Gene, I know you know what cutting bait means. And, you know, you just cut the line and lose your hook, got a snag, whatever, it's going nowhere. So you just cut bait and go. And how many times I have heard people say, you know what, our young people today are just not as respectful as we were as a generation. And guess what, folks? The generation that came before you said the same thing about you. We sing songs in church today that 100 years ago, oh, well, that's sinner's music. That's music of the devil. Gets the heartbeat going, get you wanting to stomp your feet. Don't you know stomping your feet is a sin in church? You can stomp your feet at the hoedown. You can't bear not stomp your feet in church. But times have changed, hasn't it? We grew up a little bit. We start understanding Scripture a little bit more. And Paul starts going into, you also need to not only know that you are ambassadors, but you need to be cautious of who you fellowship with. Some of you have heard me say before that you will become in 5 years the person that you are by the books that you read, magazines you look at, ministers you listen to, music you listen to, radios you listen to, televisions that you watch. Your environment will start to shape your thought process. True? Who here went to school? Everybody go to school here? Do you have different views on certain subjects now that you went to school? My wife doesn't. She knows she didn't like math before she went to school. She still does not like math. Okay. But in thinking about that, let's read this, shall we? Verse 11. It says here, We have spoken freely to you, and I think I used a different version here, so it's a little easier to read. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, therefore, I'm going to speak to you as my children with a heart that's wide open. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord does Christ have with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Some people say, you know, that's pretty tough, Pastor. Because if you do those kind of things, then somebody that's not walking the Lord can never come through the door of a church. That's kind of taking it to an extreme. But what I believe Paul is saying here is that you are an ambassador for Christ. And as such, you do have certain responsibilities. An ambassador, when he's hired by the state or by a company to go represent that state or company, do they have certain responsibilities? Do they have an agenda? Sure they do. Our agenda is to propitiate the spreading of the gospel of Jesus. Propitiate is my word for the day, okay? The gospel of Jesus Christ. To spread it. To make it grow. To let it be known by other people. Let the ways of God be taught. The ordinances. And so by becoming a Christian, we have a couple of things that might change in our lives once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And you're going, what kind of things? We have to start looking at what we're involved in. Because, as I said before, the things that we do will help shape our opinions and who we are. We might have to actually look at what we do for a living. In the state of Colorado and the state of Washington, it is legal to grow marijuana. True? It is legal to sell marijuana, to have a marijuana store. Let's just say I owned a marijuana store and Christ got a hold of me and saved me. Oh, now I got a quandary. But it's legal. I'm not breaking the law. What do? I have to figure that out. See, because all of my income is derived from this cannabis club. I'm only selling it to people that have green cards or, you know, those cards, whatever they're called. Not hurting anybody. What if I owned a bar? Yet I serve somebody every night that I knew had a drinking problem. Am I partaking in helping them maintain their drinking problem? This is not for me to figure out about our lives. It's for those that accept Jesus Christ. What if I work for a company that produces pornographic paraphernalia for people? I don't look at it myself. I don't distribute it. I'm just their accountant. Now I'm going to get down into some more personal stuff that pertains maybe to somebody in my profession. What if I'm a pastor of a church that belongs to a certain denomination? And now all of a sudden that denomination, the main big governing body of that denomination decides, we're going to start allowing this or that, which you know for a matter of fact is against the laws and ordinances of God. And a portion of the tithes and the offerings that you bring in go to support the main governing body. You might not be teaching or supporting that in your own congregation, but some of what you have goes, and you are in that hand of fellowship. True? I knew of one pastor that was in that, and I asked her, I said, how can you, knowing what they're now allowing, knowing that it is not biblical? Her answer to me was, I can't afford to give up my medical and my retirement pension. Wow! That's more important than your fellowship and your walk with the Lord. Because sometimes it boils down to that. Let's take our church. Oh, now it gets really personal. And I'm not saying that we're operating in the bad, because I don't know that the Baptists are doing this. But we have our 501c3 through the American Association of Western Baptist Churches, whatever that was that we went over yesterday. 3 hours. But the salami was great. Okay, the Baptist Churches of the West. All we do there is we pay $400 a year, I think, to use their status of 501(c), so we can be a nonprofit organization and allow you to write off your taxes, whatever you give to the church. What if next week they too become one of those churches that falls in line with some of these other churches? Do you see the easy, slippery slope that it can fall into? What if all we did was pay a dollar a year? It doesn't matter, does it? Then we look at our children and we say, oh, I just don't know why kids are so disrespectful these days. Well, has technology increased or has it decreased? Do we not now live in an age that they call the information age? What grandparent or parent here knows 100% everything that your child is looking at or listening to on the radio or online radio? You don't, do you? Because some think, oh, you know, they're good kids. They would never be influenced by that. Don't bet on it. They will also become, within the next 5 years, the person that they're going to be by the friends they associate with, the books they read, the information they get through the internet, the things their teachers teach them. They are just as programmable as you were and I was. And there's so much information coming at us so fast with such great technology that maybe we don't understand how to filter it. True? Or maybe it's such a huge task, we don't have the energy to do it. And so the kids just start getting it and getting it and getting it. But we as parents have to take that stand. We see our children starting to associate or play with kids that we know they shouldn't be associating or playing with. We need to step in. Not as a disciplinary action to them, and they will not understand. But we do need to step in. Why? Because they will become the person that they're going to be in 5 years by the people they associate with. I always say, if you want to become a smoker, hang around a smoker long enough. Be with them long enough. You will eventually smoke. If you want to start drinking and drinking to excess or doing drugs, you cannot continue to have to go to parties where excessive drinking is going on and drugs are being thrown around loosely, where you will not at one point say, let me give it a whirl. Because one of two things happens. Either they conform to you or you conform to them. And if you're the only person amongst a crowd, odds are you are going to conform to them, or especially your children will conform to them because they want to be accepted by the majority. Do they not? This is yes. This is no. This is pastor. It's past an hour. We need to go home. And I'm speaking very frank this morning. Why? We set aside time. We set aside money for our kids to have a better life. We also need to set aside our understanding and our discipline and our correcting so that we can help shape them. We have the ability to shape them. And as we're doing that, we also need to look at our own lives and say, what is it in my own life that I need to disassociate with, that I need to stand back from? For me, when we got that cable TV that came into our house, and they say, we'll give you 3 months free of HBO Showtime, Cinemax, and all those things. And so one night, you're just kind of browsing through to see what's on there, and all of a sudden, oh, that's on there. I don't even want it in my house. Why? Because once the image has gotten into your mind never forgets it. You realize that about your mind? Once you have seen, heard, read a thought that is permanently in your mind. And what does Satan do? He will bring that up anytime and all times to make you feel like you are not worthy of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. See, you got to understand where Satan is coming from. In the previous scriptures on here, in the previous verses, I'm not going to go into it. Paul says that God gave him the ability of righteousness, how's it put, in his right hand and in his left hand. He gave him the weapons of righteousness. Anybody here ever been in a fight? Guys, how many guys here have ever been in a fight in your entire life? Anybody ever get in a fight? I'm the only one that ever got in a fight. Anybody? No, I mean an actual physical fight. I'm talking from kindergarten on up. Okay, I'm not talking about your... You hit with your dominant hand, don't you? When you went to hit, what did you do with your less dominant hand? You protected. Why? Because you don't want to get hit with their dominant hand. George C. Scott said a long time ago, he was talking to a soldier. He said, the object of war is not to die for a country, but get the other guy to die for his country. Okay? So if you're in a fight, the object is to hit the person and protect yourself, right? God gave us the right hand of righteousness and the left hand of righteousness. We have to protect ourselves as much as we attack. That's what God gives us as ambassadors. Know when to speak, know when to run. Know when to throw a shield over our children, and know when we can take it off. We are the ambassadors. It is up to us to teach them proper fellowship, to teach them what they should and should not be doing. If our society truly got back to doing that, our next generation would be so much better than our generation that we have right now. Isn't that true? We can't say, oh, well, they learned it on the internet. Well, who allowed it? Well, I can't control them with their friends. Yeah, you can. Don't let them go to their friends. Amazing concept, isn't it? Be active. Participative. I'm throwing out these big words today. In their lives. Why? You love them as God loves you. God wants you to surround your own life with the positive things. Just as Fernando talked about earlier, that we are here to edify, to say a kind word, to lift somebody up. Who does here doesn't feel better when somebody says something nice about you? Kind of walk around on a cloud the rest of the day, right? Let 10 people say something nice about you that day. Then all of a sudden you come home and your husband or your wife or somebody else just happens to say one thing that wasn't very kind. It just destroys your whole day, doesn't it? You just go, oh, forget all about those other 10 things. Choose not to associate with it. See, sometimes it also can boil down to a marriage. I hate to say it, but sometimes it does boil down to a marriage. You've accepted Jesus Christ, and every step of the way, your spouse ridicules you. It's a tough decision. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Give him all that he has. Why? God loves you. He loves you with all that he has. He has set aside and worked his entire existence to give you what you have. And he has so much more still sitting there. So much more. Accept it. Be an ambassador. Watch who you associate with. I call them life suckers. Anybody ever get around a life sucker? Get even close to them, you just start feeling drained. But sometimes they're around you and you have no idea. Just be cautious. Be very cautious.